We were having a coaching call with one of the executives that we work with at a Fortune 10 company just within the last week or so. And this topic came up that I thought, oh my gosh, that's like something I've got to talk about in a podcast episode. So we're going to do it.
Leadership is the ability to facilitate movement in others toward a destination you can describe. I'm Russ Hill. I help build leaders. And this is the Culture Hacks Podcast.
Make sure you don't miss an episode. Tap on the follow, plus, or subscribe button, and you'll get two new episodes each week. Thanks for listening to the Culture Hacks Podcast with Russ Hill.
Why do we hire consultants, coaches, therapists, experts, whatever it might be, trainers, whatever it might be in our personal and professional lives? The reason we hire those people individually out of our own budget or for our company is because of a couple different reasons, right? One is they bring an outsider's perspective. They don't live in our house. They don't work in this office. They aren't part an employee of this company. They have expertise. They've worked at a gym or studied fitness or well-being or studied psychology or human behavior, whatever it might be. And so they can look at the way I'm thinking, the way I'm behaving, the way we are interacting as a team or a couple or a family or whatever it might be. They can look at that and they can provide almost like this unbiased, or they don't have a dog in the fight, right? So to speak, they can give us that perspective. And so we find ourselves on calls a lot. I mean, that's why our clients hire us, right? Is because as soon as we hang up or exit this Zoom meeting, we're going into that Zoom meeting or that on-site meeting with executives of a different company in a different industry. And we're juxtaposing those executive teams kind of against each other and going, well, why is that one more successful than this one? Or this leader, what made her leadership so scalable to where she's constantly growing and moving up the leadership ladder and obtaining greater and greater success, and he or she isn't? And so we were on a call. Well, let me introduce the podcast first. Welcome in to the Culture Hacks Podcast. I'm Russ Hill. I make my living coaching and consulting senior executive teams of some of the world's biggest companies. LoneRockConsulting.com is where you can find out more about our firm, as well as LeadIn30.com if you're interested in developing the leadership team of your organization. We've got, just a quick 10 seconds on LeadIn30. We've got thousands and thousands of leaders. You guys, if you follow this podcast on a regular basis, you know we LeadIn30 is something that I talked about quite a bit as we were creating it. Oh gosh, what, 2 year? I can't even remember now. Like 2 years ago, two and a half, one and a half. When was it? It would have been November, December of 2021, right? So we're coming up on 2 years. Okay. So, And anyway, it's just awesome. It's impacting thousands and thousands and thousands of leaders in lots of different organizations. And it's so fulfilling for me. In fact, I'm going to stop at the end of recording this episode. I'm dressed to be able to film some videos. I'll get up and I'll put the lapel microphone on, put away the podcast mic, and shoot some videos for a customized session of LeadIn30 that we're about to start with a very large organization. They're putting through thousands of leaders, and it's just going to dramatically affect their leaders. It's going to dramatically affect their results. It's going to change that organization, which it's so stinking cool. I love it. Okay, so that's what I do for a living. And so in this podcast, if you're new to it, or if you've been listening for a while and you're wondering, what the crap do I do? What I do is I share insights, observations, experiences, learnings from interacting with lots of different executives in my line of work, working in a leadership lab, and I share with you. I just get on here and riff. In case you can't tell, these episodes aren't edited very much, and I don't sit down. If you're the type that likes a 2.5 hour interview between two people, this is the wrong podcast for you. If you're the type that likes somebody who sits down and types up a manuscript or a book and is very focused on that, then this is the wrong podcast for you. If you find value in somebody turn on a microphone and saying, hey, kind of like it's you visualize it kind of as just my audio journal. Hey, so I've been working in a leadership lab this week. I've been on the phone with lots of different executives, been in the room with some of them, and here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I'm learning. Here's what's standing out to me. And hopefully it's valuable to you. If you like that format, then you are in the right place. Okay, so on this call with a senior executive, Fortune 10 company, and what I said to her was this, and I'll get to the why I'm sharing this in a moment. It'll become clear, and then the takeaway I'll share with you as well. I said to her, I said, you know, it's interesting. In our line of work, in talking with lots of different leaders, in lots of different meetings or settings or coaching calls, you notice that the most successful executives sound different than those that are mediocre or are learning and maybe at the more beginning stages. And I said, you know, it's interesting to think about some of the things that you hear in a call or a conversation with a very successful senior executive versus somebody who's not. And I said, so I'm going to, we'd been on the phone for like 30, maybe 40 minutes. And I said, are you open to some feedback about what we've been listening to, what we've been hearing from you in this call over the last 30 or 40 minutes and how that compares to some of the most senior, successful executives of some of the world's biggest companies. Would you like us to share that with you? And she said, yeah, actually, kind of caught her by surprise. And she said, yeah, I'd really be interested in that. Here's what I told her. I said, you know, it's interesting in phone calls and conversations with this isn't true of everybody. There are exceptions, true, right? There are people who get to the highest levels of some of the biggest companies who are just absolute, what's an appropriate term? They're just not great people. And they're not great leaders. Like they just know someone or they played the game or they whatever. They somehow got all the way up to the top and they just suck as a leader. There are exceptions, right? Or just a dirtbag of a human being. And they made it to the top. Okay, there are exceptions. I'm not talking about those. So I said, you know, it's interesting. In those phone calls or those conversations, you rarely hear names. I want you to think about that for just a second. So they're describing things that are going on in the organization, and they rarely use names. Now, they do bring up names, but let me pull on that thread for a minute and help you understand my point. So I'll compare that to someone who's maybe less experienced. And here's what you would hear the less experienced executive say. Oh my gosh, thank you for asking about what's going on. Lisa's driving me insane. Mike is such a pain. Oh my gosh, we were in a meeting last week and Mike did this and Lisa did that and it was whatever. And I can't believe that they're doing that. You get the point? There's this drama. There's names. It's about the individual. What I've learned is you typically don't hear that in a seasoned, successful, scalable executive. Here's how it sounds differently or how it sounds different. Russ, thanks for the question. Let me give you a quick update on how things are going. We're having some challenges in a couple parts of the business. And we have a leader in one area where she's coming at it from this standpoint. And here's the challenge that we're hearing, or he is he's looking at it from a from this standpoint, and what we really need is someone, we need him to look at it from that standpoint. It's not about Mike. It's not about Lisa. It's not about the drama. It's not about, because when you get on the phone or you get in the meeting and it's, oh my gosh, Lisa, whatever, Mike, whatever, or what, you know what you sound like? You sound like a middle school kid. Like it's this drama at lunchtime, and you know what I'm talking about, right? You hear this in your office. Maybe you engage in it. We all do this to some because we're human. We do it to some degree. But the more successful, seasoned, mature we become, the less it's about that. We're having an issue in this office. You remove names. And the other, the second thing, so the lack of names is an interesting thing to think about. And we will hear it. I mean, a seasoned executive will say, well, you know, Joe, we've got some issues over in Joe's area. And then it becomes not about Joe. You with me? Rather than it sounding like a personality attack or like they just don't get along or he's an idiot or whatever else, it doesn't sound like drama. It doesn't sound like middle school lunch hour. It sounds more like an emotion. This is the second thing. It sounds like an emotionless analyzation of the situation. The more seasoned, more successful, more experienced and mature leaders, the less emotion you hear. Isn't that interesting? That's hard to do, by the way, often, because we feel so passionate about what we do and something's driving us nuts. And I, this is easy for me to talk about and it's much less difficult for me to do, right? So I'm teaching you, I'm sharing with you what I see in the best leaders, the most successful leaders we work with. I'm not telling you what I'm really good at. Okay. There's a difference in that. And so there's very little emotion. Matter of fact, the next thing I would share with you, and so these are connected, there's overlap in them, is the most seasoned, successful, mature, experienced executive is rarely surprised. So they don't get on a meeting and go, oh my goodness, you're not going to believe what just happened in that last one. No. And I'll give you an example of this. So one of the organizations, in fact, this company that this executive that I mentioned that I'm talking about in this particular call that we were giving her some coaching, she works in an organization, very large. I mean, it's a Fortune 10 company, one of the 10 biggest companies in the U.S. as measured by revenue generation, right? So just an enormous organization with tens of thousands of people that work across a million different locations. And so there is an area of the business that's really about growth, right? And these leaders have been tasked with creating products and services that are set to drive, that they're really the innovative engine inside this organization. Well, they have to interact with the more legacy part of the organization. And you know the speed that works at, right? I mean, like slow as molasses, right? And just bureaucratic and difficult and whatever. And yet the innovative growth engine's got to be nimble and startup scrappy and just very different mentality, right? And so what would you expect as those two parts of the business are interacting? Lots of friction, lots of challenges, lots of disagreement. Lots of issues, right? You would just, on paper, that's exactly what you would expect. So why would you get on a call and act surprised that this department and that department are having issues? Or why would you get in a meeting and go, I can't believe that we're having this challenge, or I can't believe she's looking at it that way, or I can't believe that he's slow to act on it. Of course they are. The more seasoned, experienced, successful, mature leader, the less they're surprised. This is the way it works. This is how it happens. I've seen this before. I understand the dynamics. They're at work in these competing. Of course marketing is having issues with sales. That's the way it's supposed to work. Of course, legal is presenting challenges to the sales department. Of course, ops and product development is at odds with the sales team or with the market, whatever it might be. Those are just natural friction points. We expect them because of the interest that each of those areas have. And so as an executive, I'm not surprised by it. I anticipate it. And so I'm less emotional. I try to pull the emotion out of it. I'm not playing the middle school drama game. Pulling the emotion out of it. I'm not surprised by any of it. I'm not mentioning in a lot of names because it's not about John. And it's not about Susan. It's about these competing interests or these different things or these various perspectives. And I'm just analyzing it like a totally calm surgeon diagnosing a disease or what's needed to be done surgically. Here's what we've got. This is the situation. These are the choices we face. We need to make a decision on this. We need to make a decision on that. You hear how that sounds? That is so radically different than someone that goes, oh my, just there's, you know what I'm talking about. So I'm not going to repeat myself over and over again on it. And so in this call, this coaching call with this leader who's unbelievably good, she is an absolute rising star. She's already senior level and moving up even higher, and her future is insanely bright. And yet there was a little emotion, and yet there were some names, and there were a lot of surprises in the 30 minutes when I and a colleague were listening to her on this call. And so the coaching was, maybe you might consider, as you're reacting to and processing and talking to others in the company about this, fewer names, fewer surprises, and less emotion. And you're going to sound insanely mature, experienced, successful, and without an agenda as a leader. Here are the options. Here's what we've got to make a decision about. This is what I'm seeing. We've got this and we've got that. And that, I hope that's helpful for you. And by the way, it's a great reminder for me, right? I don't work in a large corporation anymore. I don't work in the huge corporate world and have to deal with a lot of those things. But in any environment, it's just interesting to think about how we sound as executives and leaders. Are you acting surprised a lot? Oh my gosh, you won't believe what happened today. That makes you sound less experienced. You won't believe what John did. Ah, just drives. That makes you sound less mature and experienced. And then emotion, just driving me insane that we're dealing with this or whatever, makes you sound less experienced, mature. Make sense? Wonder what's, I'm so interested in what's going through your mind as you hear me talk about that. And I too often in my career have sounded surprised, full of emotion, using lots of names. And it just has made me sound, and it makes me sound when I do that, less mature, less successful, less experienced. And so that's something that we all probably need to work on, because it goes against kind of the human way to react to things. Anyway, that's what's on my mind. I hope that's helpful. How to sound like a more seasoned, successful, mature executive. Those are a few things that I wanted to share with you in this episode of the Culture Hacks podcast.
Who do you know that could benefit from listening to this episode? Tap on the share button and text the link to a friend or colleague, or write a post on LinkedIn and tag Russ. Thanks for listening to the Culture Hacks podcast with Russ Hill.